Christians here on where I'm preaching out of 2 Kings chapter 3. I've got a few signboards here too. I'm trying to build up a little clientele tonight. If you're interested after a while, I'll talk to you about it. Can y'all read that on this side? You read that, Brother Greg? Good, good. He's got a good vision, I guess. We'll put this one over here. Yeah, come on, bring it up here, Titus. I ain't going to hit nobody. We ain't burying nobody. You bury things that's dead. But I'm not burying nobody tonight. I'll tell you this story. It's kind of funny. Only while I'm thinking of it. It don't even go on my message. But anyway, I had a neighbor lady. She used to, whenever her dogs would die, I would be the guy that buried the animals. I'd go over and take my shovel and dig a grave. And she'd give me $10 or whatever for burying her pet. And I thought, well, that's pretty easy money. It ain't too bad. And take a shovel, dig a hole in the ground, and put the dog in there and cover it up, and you're done. So one day I was over there digging a grave for her dog. She said he had died. And I said, all right. I dug his grave, and I looked over there at it, and all of a sudden, that dog was not dead. All of a sudden, he rose up and started walking around, shaking his head, looking back and forth. And I told her, I said, ma'am, your dog's not dead. She said, well, good, good. She's all excited about it. And I said, well, I dug the grave, and your dog's not. She said, well, he may end up dying pretty soon, so we'll just leave the hole. But anyway, that was free tonight. If you got your Bible, 2 Kings, you can't bury something unless it's dead. If it's dead, then you bury it. But I ain't dead tonight. You ain't dead. 2 Kings chapter 3. Josiah, you bring me that water, please. Got enough? Keep them. Take them home. You got a spoon in your hand? Everybody got a spoon in your hand? Raise your hand. You got a spoon in your hand? Say amen. Amen. That may be what we need for church. We may just say, if you got a spoon in your hand, say amen, because that's the most amens I've heard in a long time in church. Right? So we may have to do that. 2 Kings chapter 3. I'm just going to read a few verses. I'll give you the background of it here. As soon as I can find it here, I've had it marked. I'm wearing these glasses for a reason, not for looks, because it don't help. 2 Kings chapter 3, we'll start at verse number 16. And he said, thus said the Lord, make this valley full of ditches. For thus said the Lord, you shall not see wind, neither shall you see rain. Yet the valley shall be filled with water, that ye may drink, both ye and your cattle and your beasts. And this is but a light thing in the sight of the Lord. He will deliver the Moabites also into your hand. Here we find a story in the Bible where there was three kings that gathered together, and Moab had left them, and these three kings had gathered together to battle. There was three kings with three armies, Jehoram and Jehoshaphat and Edom, all gathered together, and they was going to go against the Moabites to destroy them. And they all got together, but the problem was, as they gathered together, they were ready for battle. They had their armament, they had their weapons, they had their men, they had their cattle, they had their horses. Everything was in order. And it seemed like they was ready for battle. But they got out on a 7-day journey, and there was something that was lacking it was very necessary to an army, very necessary to anybody to live. And this is what I've got up here tonight. I've got, this is necessary. Life, water is necessary. They did not have any water. And these men were out, and they began to discuss among themselves, said, if we come out here this way and we're in this mode and we're going to be destroyed because we'll die. The Moabites, God has sent us out. Matter of fact, one of them said, God has sent us out that the Moabites may destroy us. And they asked, said, what should we do about this situation? Said, and one of them said, there's a man by the name of, he said, go find, here, Elisha, sorry. Go find, there's a man by the name of Elisha, the man of God, said, if you'll ask him and inquire of him, he'll tell us what we need to do. And they said, go find him. So they sought Elisha out. And Elisha at first was not willing to talk to him because one of the king's sons was the son of Ahab and Jezebel. And he said, what have I have to do with you? So why, what am I even dealing with you for? You're Ahab and Jezebel, son. Why do I even want to talk to you? But he said, because of Jehoshaphat was with you, he said, I'll have favor. And he said, I'll inquire of God. And so they brought a song out, and they played a song, and he told them this. He said afterwards, he said, what you need to do, excuse me, is make this valley full of ditches. For thus said the Lord, you shall not see wind, neither shall see rain, yet the valley shall be filled with water, that ye may drink, both ye and your cattle and your beasts. So here they were in a journey, they were in a battle, and getting ready to go to battle, but God is getting ready to provide miraculously water where there is no water to be found. Dig these ditches, not just dig a trench. Anybody ever dig a ditch? Anybody ever dig a ditch? This, you young people, you may think by looking at it, said, where's the batteries of that thing at? Where's it plug up at? How do you work that thing? Where do I ride at on this thing? How do I make this thing work? A lot of times when digging a ditch, this is not a beautiful thing. And a lot of times when you're hiring somebody, Brother Mike Gilpin, to dig ditches, you ain't going to get a lot of applications. They're not going to be lined up at the front door saying, I can dig a ditch. I've done ditches. They're not going to be lined up. It's a tedious work. It's a hard work. And a lot of times when you're digging a ditch, it puts calluses upon your hands. And it causes you a lot of pain and a lot of grief. And digging a ditch, you just don't set it there and push it down the ground, and that's it. I ain't pushing hard. My wife's worried about the carpet. But you put your foot on it, and as you put your foot on it, you press it down. There's sometimes in life you got to press it down on some things and dig some things out and scoop some things out of the way. But he said, dig you some ditches. Not just dig you a trench, but dig you some ditches. That's what your spoon is tonight. It represents your shovel tonight. But tonight I'd like to ask you, and God's looking tonight for some ditch diggers. God's looking for somebody that's willing to dig a ditch. And you say, what does it mean to dig a ditch? To get some water for your family and my family. That the flow of the Holy Ghost may flow in this church the way it needs to be. I don't want just a little trickle every now and then. I'm not excited about just God's Spirit moving just once a year or once every, just a seasonal. But I'd like God's presence to visit us daily. I'd like for God's presence to come among us in such a mighty way that's like a flood. The Spirit of the Lord, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord lifts up a standard against it. But His Spirit will overflow in this place. Make this valley full of ditches. And I wrote these signs over, wanted ditch diggers. There's been times as a soldier of God that I've had to dig some ditches. These things ain't helping me. I can't see better with them or without them. I've had some times, a few times, that I've had to dig some ditches. There's times I've got thirsty and I wonder, where's my next drink coming from, God? I've sought God and I asked God, Lord, I need a blessing. I need your presence. I need to feel your sweet Holy Ghost. And I begin to seek after God. And every now and then I'd find a little ponder. I was listening a while ago about a Kenny Henson song. You ever heard that song? God is my oasis in dry places. He makes flowers bloom. God, where His grace is, living waters flow. And I don't know about you, but with God wants His Spirit to flow in this place. He don't just want a little reservoir, but He wants a chasm. He wants a forceful river to flow in you. Out of your belly, the Bible says, shall flow rivers of living water. And digging ditches, like I said, it's not a glamorous job. It's physically tiring. But the wars, a lot of wars were fought over wells and reservoirs and places. They'd go take people's wells, Jacob's wells that he dug, and they'd stop the wells up. And I don't know about you, I don't want my well to be stopped. I want to dig deeper than I've ever dug. I want to dig deep. I want to dig for my family. I want to dig for your family. I want to dig for these young people. I want to dig that they might, and it's not just on the mountaintop. I'm digging, but he said, dig in these valleys. Dig down in the valley. And God's going, in that valley, he said, you'll not see no rain. It's not coming the way you think it's coming. We think a lot of times God's going to send the rain. And sometimes he does. Sometimes we have a cloud burst. Sometimes we have a gully washer. Sometimes God comes in miraculous ways and moves in a mighty way. We, other night, me and my family, we was in need of God to move and help us. And I'd been in need of God for a long time. God helped me. And I was standing around here and I began to worship. And it was Thursday night when OBI was here. And my boys was worshiping God. And my girl was worshiping God. And my wife was over here praying to the kids and other girls. And I began to pray to the boys and those that were seeking God. And we began to worship God and seek God. And God, Titus was getting close to God, helping him. Brother Ken Taylor, me and him talked the other day about this. He was getting close to God blessing him. And he'd get so close, but he'd draw back. And God whispered in my ear, which he told me, that this is what he told me over a year ago, and I did not, as you was talking this morning, Brother Greg, I did not obey him. God told me over a year ago to get out of my pew right where my wife's sitting at, to get down on my hands and knees and crawl around the church. You say, that looks stupid. That looks crazy. You used that word this morning. I'm sorry, I used it too. You taught me a bad habit. That looks crazy. That's ridiculous. God don't tell you stuff like that. Oh, really? God spoke to me to do that. I hadn't done it. So Titus was worshiping God and seeking God. And as he's worshiping God, God told me, said, whisper in his ear and tell him, you're going to do something that God told you to do, but it's ridiculous. But you need to obey God, because I'm obeying God and I'm going to do something. I'm going to step out in faith. Do something ridiculous. So we're standing right in here. And I got on my hands and knees. And I crawled over there to that corner. I didn't make it all the way around the church. He didn't tell me to go all the way around that time. But I got over and began to pray. And I said, Lord, my family needs help. I need help. Church needs help. I need strength. My family needs strength. Our joy is waning low. We've got to have your presence. These boys are getting older. And I don't want to lose them to the world. I want them to get a good experience of God. I don't want them to wait until they're 30 or 40 year old to wait and be in trouble and then call and go. But I want you to touch them now. I need you to move in their lives while they're young. I don't want to wait until they get older. And I begin to pray, and God began to speak to me. And it wasn't long over there praying, and Brother Keith Schooley come and whispered in my ear and said, Titus has been shouting the house down. And I was glad hearing that. And I was glad God was moving and God helped him. But then we came on over and God wasn't finished yet. And as we began to pray, God blessed again. And I looked over, my wife was dancing in the spirit. I looked over, my girl was shouting. My boys were jumping up and down. And God got on me, and I don't jump up and down. It's hard to move this up and down unless God gets on me. But I was jumping up and down, God's presence. And I decided within myself, I decided if no one else is willing to dig, if no one else wants to put their shovel to the ground, Brother Joe, I'm going to put my shovel to the ground. You care to put that picture up? You talked this morning, and this picture has been on my mind ever since that, and ever since this lesson. This picture was on the board back here. And some of these guys, I don't know who all of them are. I know Brother Huff's on this side. And I think that's Gordon Acton, is it not, the second one? Is that right? I don't know the rest of them. Brother Mike Gilpin, are you in this picture? The white shirt, boy, you've changed. You're like me, you've changed. These men, there's something they've got in their hand there. It's a mini excavator. It's an earth mover. They've got a shovel in their hand. What are they doing? They're breaking ground. They're breaking ground for the church. These men knew what it was to use a shovel. They knew what it was to put their hand to the plow and to put their foot down in some situations. There's some things in my family's life that I sometimes had to put my foot down. I'm not trying to be mean or obnoxious or rude or crude or any of the other verbs. But there's some things I had to put my foot down. Not that they're bad people, but I've told my boys about some things. I said, you got to be careful with this and that. You can't, I want to watch over you, protect you. I got to guard your witness and keep your character straight. But these men knew how to put their foot down. They'd done it years ago. And may I tell you, it still works. It hasn't quit working. But a lot of times as a church, we look at this show and we say, man, I don't want to do that. I'm not willing to pray this thing through. I'm not willing to put my foot down. I'm not willing to move some things aside. I know my family's struggling. Anybody's family struggling? Be honest. Don't kid me. Don't lie to me. Are you struggling? I'm not saying you're backslidden. I'm just saying you need a good dose of the Holy Ghost. You need a good drenching of God's Spirit. Anybody want to get in the river where the Holy Ghost flows? You get your shovel in your hand, brother, sister. You've got a family. I've got a family. We've got to learn how to dig. And God's hiring diggers. God's got an application for you. God's hiring people that they might put their hand to the plow. Work while it's yet day, for the night cometh when no man's able to work. But while it's yet day, make this valley full of ditches. Not just one here, not just one there, but make it full of ditches. Get your hand in on your shovel, brother. Penetrate the surface. Go deeper than you've ever went before. Shallow work won't work no more. Shallow prayers don't get the job done. It takes a deep life with God. The Bible says deep calls on the deep. God give us men. God give us youth. God give us husbands. God give us wives. God give us singers and saints to dig in. God fills the emptiness. It's not going to come like it usually does. But it's going to come supernatural. It's not going to come naturally. It's not going to fall out of the sky. But that ditch, he's filling. God's going to fill it from the bottom up. He'll fill it. He's not going to send the rain like he said on this. He's not going to cause the wind to blow on it. But he will fill your ditch to overflowing. And you'll have enough for you. You'll have enough for your children. You'll have enough for your children's children. You'll have enough for your neighbor. You'll have enough for your brother. You'll have enough for your sister, your aunt, your uncle. There's plenty in this supply. Hungry, thirsty, what are you willing to do to get your breakthrough? What are you willing to do to get what God's got for you? You got to put your hand to the plow. You got to dig deeper. And this, he said, for this, thus said the Lord, you shall not see wind, neither you shall see rain, yet the valley shall be filled. No, they put my ditch diggers. Why? The men, Brother Mike Gilpin, I'm sure you've dug plenty of ditches. I'm sure your hand's been, I shake your hand sometimes. Your hand is callous from labor. I commend you. But spiritually, I want my spiritual hands to be callous for God's work. Bible says, whatsoever your hand find to do, do with all your might. God will bless your hands if you'll put your hand to the plow and not look back. But the Bible says, he that put his hand to the plow and look it back is not fit for the kingdom. But I want to grab a hold of that gospel plow, Brother Charlie. I want to dig this ditch straight. I don't want it to be something that's off-centered where my kids don't really know what's going on. But I want to keep it straight. There's some following you. There's some watching you. They're seeing whether you've got your shovel in the ground or not, or whether you've, as the old saying, hung your harp in the midst of the wilderness. Have you hung your shovel up in the shed? I don't pray the way I used to pray. I'm not as young as I used to be. That don't matter. I don't feel God the way I used to. Why? I ain't spoken tongues in a long time. Why? It's hard. It's laborious. But it is worth laboring for. The benefits is outweighing the pain. The benefits outweigh the hurt. The blessings outweigh the sorrow. Sure, you're tired. Sure, you're weary. But I'm asking you tonight. I'm beseeching you by the mercy of God. That shovel you got in your hand, you say it's just a little shovel. I can't do much. You got your shovel? What are you going to do with that? Well, that's it. You care, stand up. Let me show you something. You know what to do with a shovel. You've used a shovel. You take that shovel and you put it down the ground, right? Let's put it down the ground. Put it down the ground. Okay, what are we going to do with this? We're going to keep this? What are we going to do with it? We need to throw it away. Because we need to cast it aside. If we cast it, because you ain't going to get no farther if you don't get rid of that. And you just stand there with that in your hand. No, that's all I've got. Some of us stand around with a shovel full of dirt saying, what do I do now, Pastor? I've dug in. I've got a shovel full. What do I do with this? Throw it aside. Dig in again. If you don't get what you need the first time, pray again. If you don't hit pay dirt, dig again. If you don't hit the source of the force of the if you don't hit the flow of the river, dig again. What I'm saying is, you've got I'm trying to think of the right words to say. You have a responsibility. I have a responsibility, Brother Charlie. I have a responsibility to do something with what God's gave me. And if I let it sit here and I let it die, it's my own fault. But I ain't willing to let it sit here and die. I'm willing to put my foot down, my shovel down, and dig. Put my hands down, throw that thing aside, that I might run this race that's set before me. That I might run it with patience. That I might dig a ditch that God would fill. When is he going to fill it? I don't know when he's going to fill it. But I know he will. I don't know when it's going to happen. But I've got this promise beyond a shadow of doubt. He will. Has he done it before? We can look back. Oh, yes, he's done it before. I can look at God's references tonight through this Bible and through God's Word. He's done it over and over and over and over before. And why would not God do it for us? Huh? We have not because we ask not. Ain't that what she said about youth camps? She said about all the youth camps she wanted to go to. She had not because she asked. We have not because we ask not. God's got some things in store for this church. But you've got to dig in. You've got to get deeper than where you're at. I've got to get deeper than where I'm at. I'm not going to sit here and dig in one spot and dig me a grave. What good would that do? I'm going to dig a trench for my family. Brother Charlie, you've got to dig a ditch for your family. I'm sure you have. Brother Michael Bennett, you've got to dig a ditch for your family. Brother Jace, you're a freshly young married man. You've got to learn to dig a ditch for your family now. Your dad can't dig it for you no more. I'm sure he'll come over and tell you which way to plant that shovel. But you're going to have to learn how to shovel it yourself. And I'm sure you will. My boy Josiah's getting ready to go to Bible school. A couple months down the road, he's going to have to learn how to use that shovel. And I ain't talking about just the tool. But I'm talking about digging deep with God. Digging deep, digging a trench, allowing God to pour out his blessing, filling that trench over and over and over. God's blessed me. I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor the seed begging bread. I've never went hungry. I've never went thirsty. I've never went alone. He's been a friend and a shield. He's been a friend that sticks closer than a brother. He's been my helper, my uplifter, my soul. He's the Lord of my ship. He keeps me from sinking. He's the master of the sea. When he speaks, the billows obey. I'm challenging you tonight. Can we all stand? Stream, you could come piano, just play something. God doesn't do it our way, always. The one song says, hallelujah, anyhow. However he wants to do it, it's all right with me. If you want me to run, God, it's all right. If you want me to crawl around the church, it's all right with me, God. What do I have to do to get my family home? And I ain't talking about down at 165 Little Pittsburgh Road. Whatever I have to do to get them home to the other side, I'm willing to do. I'm willing to shovel. I'm willing to dig. I'm willing to press. I'm willing to plow. I'm willing to lay away every weight and every sin that doth easily beset me, that I might run this race. God fills the emptiness. You dig it. Let God fill it. You can't do it by yourself. It's not a man-made feeling, but it's a heaven-sent feeling that God floods over. What the woman in the well, at the well, came to Jesus. Jesus was sitting at the well, and he asked her to drink. And she said, sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well's deep. He said, if you had asked me, he said, I would have gave you the living water. And he said, you'd never thirst again. And he said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. I don't know about you, but I like to see the river flow mightily around here. Where it's not just a normal one person started out. It's not normal, but it's supernatural, where God breaks hearts, mends families, mends hurts, puts things together, bonds things where they need to be. God, would you fill our ditch tonight? Can I ask that question one more time? God, will you fill our ditch tonight? We're thirsty. We're dry. We're barren. We ain't seen souls saved in a long time. Lord, we ain't spoken tongues in a long time. We ain't allowed your presence to be where it needs to. God, would you fill my ditch tonight? Would you allow your presence to flow in my heart? Do it again, Lord. Do it like you used to do it, but better. Do it like we've heard, but mightier. Sure, I'd like to see your power in your sanctuary. That's where I want to see it. In the sanctuary, in the place where God abides. He abides within you. And as we draw near together, you can't stop a river. You can't stop the flow of God. It'd be like you taking your little spoon trying to stop the Niagara. It's impossible. Can we come this altar or not? If you're thirsty, if you're dry, lift your head up to the sky and ask God, fill my ditch. Not just for me, Lord, but my family. I have a responsibility. I have a duty, Lord. There's souls watching me. God, I want your presence, God, to flood my soul again, God. Mightily, oh God. Sweet Lamb of God. Oh, move among us, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for these people that's praying.